Sip, savor, and experience 408 sakes and 16 restaurants at the Joy of Sake on September 16th. Go to joyofsake.com for an evening of sake perfection.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello and welcome to Love Bites, coming at you live from Heritage Radio Network here in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Today is Monday, September 12th, and this is the very first episode of our fourth season. So cheers to us and cheers to you for sticking with us and being our loyal listeners. I'm your host, Ben Rosenblatt. I'm an actor, writer, musician, occasional bartender and server. You can check me out at benrosenblattactor.com. I am 34, straight, and still, believe it or not, in a relationship. This is a little bit of a record for me in the last 6 years, 4 months. So, yes, thank you very much. The guys are laughing at me here. But 4 months, and I have managed to not completely fuck it up or run away for the hills yet. I'm sure it will come to a terrible, disastrous ending very soon, and when it does, I will keep you posted. Anyway, at this point, if you're a regular listener, you're probably thinking, what the? Why is Ben introducing the show, and where the hell is Jacqueline? I miss her sweet, calm, soothing voice. Well, she is in Portugal, relaxing, probably with some tasty wine or something in the Azores, having a grand old time, and she has left me here to do the grunt work all by myself. Actually, that's not true. Knowing that I'm an incompetent delinquent, she slaved away before she left, compiling everything, organizing everything, doing everything, basically, so that all I had to do was basically show up and talk. She actually just wrote that sentence I just read where I called myself an incompetent delinquent.
And you did it anyway.
And yeah, that's actually not true. Just kidding. But Jacqueline, if you're listening, we miss you. But rest assured, I've got everything under control here. I swear that Pierre and I did not just take massive bong hits before the show. Definitely no pot smoking of any kind happening in the studio. Only crack. Just a couple hits of crack. Anyway, for our listeners, Jacqueline will be back in 2 weeks, so have no fear. You won't be stuck listening to my inane ramblings for too long. But in the meantime, you are stuck with me, so buckle up. Ooh, look at that. Little sound effect action from Pierre. Anyway, in the absence of my female counterpart today, I've decided to fill the studio with as much testosterone as I could. This is the Bro Show.
Hi.
That was the least...
I mean, what's happening?
There you go. Thank you. I've got three incredibly manly guests here.
No, but that was kind of like a fake gay accent, which is kind of bro-y.
True.
A bro-y sense of humor thing to do.
Listen, let's be honest. We're actually just four kind of artsy intellectual
types. Yeah, I know. fucking no testosterone.
But we do have Y chromosomes, and that counts for me. So anyway, we're just here to have a little roundtable discussion to examine and maybe illuminate, sort of demystify for the ladies the male perspective and experience when it comes to love and dating. So, ladies, welcome into the deranged mind of man. I make no promises that you will finish this episode without being completely disgusted several times. But anyway, my three deranged guests are Andrew McLeod, Nick Guitart, and Danny Raposo. By now, you all know Andrew of Union Beer. He's a return guest, a longtime friend of mine, and a favorite of ours here on the show. Nick Guitart is a restaurateur, restaurant manager, and he happens to be my boss at my restaurant gig. So I guess I've got to be on my best behavior, or maybe my worst behavior, depending on how long I want that job.
Sure, try something new.
Dude, what do you care? You hate that fucking job. That's all you fucking talk about is how much you hate it.
God, this, Andrew, shush. Last but not least, really putting the bro in bro show, we have Danny Raposo. That's right. Raposo, yeah. Jacqueline's brother. And later in the show, we may ask him to give us some dirt on his sister. So be afraid, Jacqueline. Be very afraid. Guys, thank you so much for joining me here in the studio today.
You got it, man.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm just going to dive into the deep end here because I have this fascination with the way men are with each other as opposed to the way they are with women. And I think there's like can be a very big difference. So I'm just like going to get the ball rolling by just asking, like, how do guys talk about women when they're with each other?
I guess it really
depends. You have a major fascination about how guys are with each other. I'm just, all right, I know, dude. But we got to make these stupid fucking jokes. I was thinking about it on the subway over after I got a fucking root canal. So if I sound worse than I normally do, I apologize.
You can't sound worse than you normally do.
I know, it's tough.
You're definitely spilling your beer all over your face.
Yeah, I know. It's
Andrew's double fisting beer and whiskey at the moment.
That's why I went for the $3 can beer. As opposed to the expensive shit.
Can you answer the question?
No, I think it's way different now than it used to be. I think it depends on what age you were. I remember when, like, if you're like 13 or 14 or whatever, like the first time you get a fucking hand job, like you will go into detail about everything. But now it's, I don't know. I mean, if you're with a girl, I've been with a girl for a year and a half. I don't really get into detail on stuff. I think it depends on where your situation is and how old you are.
But what about when you're talking, like, what about like when you like are out with the guys and you see like a good looking girl?
Yeah, dude, till the day you die, you're going to talk about, well, I always have this thing that.
I don't think that ever really changes.
No, you're going to be like, I'll fuck her. I would totally fuck her.
We did it 3 minutes ago.
Oh, I
watch it through the window of Roberta's.
Wait, I know I've done this. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would definitely. There was always a difference. My best friend, he's gay, and he would always talk about like how beautiful a woman was in high school, and I'm the most oblivious person on the planet. Like I thought he came out to me, and I found out he came out to everybody else, and he just, hey, dude, you know I'm gay, right? I'm like, oh, okay. But he always talked about how beautiful they were, and then the straight guys would talk about what they wanted to do to the girl walking past you.
Nick, I know you and I have had some conversations like at work sometimes, and after the conversation, we were both like, oh my God, we're going to hell, right? Like, we've had some conversations that we would definitely not want, like, a woman who we might be interested to hear, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I recorded all those, of course, so I was always a little worried
Pierre's
that we might go for the same guy,
up in
girl
the,
that I...
in the booth.
Pierre, do not play those.
I like how you refer to them as conversations. Well, you know. Really well thought out.
Yes, the intellectual...
We all made some really good points there.
After checking for bugs, we... you know, we're just about as scummy as it gets. But, you know, basically what we're all trying to do is just one-up each other. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Well, but, that it brings up another question.
One hand job, two hand jobs. Three, two hand jobs, three hand jobs.
Well, it brings up a question because we don't talk this way about women with other women.
Just my mom. She's really down, though.
I mean, you, Danny, would you say you talk the same way?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It depends on the girl, man.
Yeah.
No,
as girls I work. Like, yeah, it depends.
Like the dirtiest shit you talk about with the guys, you have some female friends that you can talk about.
You
like
might,
that.
But they have to be those female friends where you're 100% sure you're never going to get in their pants. You know, that rare one where you've given up complete hope.
That's the
girl you can talk to just like you're talking to the
Look,
guys.
I spoke to our friend. I'm not going to name her name. She's famous and everyone will figure it out. I'm just kidding. I was talking to her and I said, hey, I'm dating this girl and she's a virgin. This is like 2 years ago, by the way. I wasn't like 15. I'm like, she's a virgin. It should be normal. And she's like, why are you dating her? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I really like her. She's hot, blah, blah, blah. And she'd be like a musical theater actress. And my friend's like...
So she wasn't a virgin.
No. She's apparently she's
ladies out there. I know Andrew just said it's not normal, but there's nothing wrong if you want to be a virgin at whatever age you're at. Okay?
My friend said, "Well, she's a good singer. She probably doesn't have a gag reflex, so she'll at least give you a good blowjob." So there are certain women that are rougher than I am.
All right. But anyway, I guess
it's different though for a woman to say something like that to you than for you to say that to a woman. Like just you know, like to a female friend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would agree with you.
Just
yeah,
come out and say certain, that to a female right. friend, but for yeah. a woman,
it's a certain
to say
way
that
you
back,
talk just with guys.
It's different. Yeah.
And I guess then my follow up question is: if there's a way you talk with the guys and there's a way you talk with the women, which is more our authentic self?
Women, it's the way we talk to you. that's our true selves.
No, but is it us?
I think it's language, though. It's a, you pull a few punches when you're talking to women.
All right, so what are you going to say with? All right, you're going to be like, yeah, I want to fucking bang that chick. I want to do, you know, whatever. It's like, yeah, it's offensive. I mean, that's what you really want to do, unless you're just pretending you want to do it, and overcompensating or whatever. But that's what you want to do. I guess it's probably more authentic.
I don't necessarily know if authentic is the word I would use. I think it's just like kind of like two parts of your brain. You have that like caveman inside of you.
The chest just pounding. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Inside.
It's the chest pounding inside.
You're a doctor, right?
Yeah, right.
I just wanted to make sure.
No, I just think it's different. I don't think either one is necessarily more authentic than the other. It's just just a matter of like, you know, the situation that you're in.
So when we're talking with the guys, like that's the worst things we say, like, yeah, like, I want to fuck that chick is one thing. But we also say some, like, guys can be demeaning and all sorts of ways.
All right, are we talking about just sex, or are we talking about everything here?
Everything.
Okay, because I never really get that detailed into, like, this is, you know, blah, 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 all that shit. Like, I don't really care about that. But I'll definitely say, like, shit that would offend the hell out of my girlfriend, as it did the last time I did this fucking show, which is becoming a problem.
Stop having him on here. It's ruining his life.
But you're never going to say something. I'm not going to say something really what most people consider sexist to my girlfriend.
So then is the sexist stuff honest, or is it just like our way of being like socially?
Yeah, I mean, you vent about shit like you just vent. If they're really passionate about like, you know, whatever. I'm gonna get myself in trouble no matter what. But I said something like, "She's like, hey, I just got back from a trip. Can you park the car?" And I made some comment like, "If you guys want equality, you gotta get this fucking parallel parking thing out of control." And I didn't get laid that night. Nothing happened.
Didn't go over well.
Of course not.
But is that stuff like? Is that sometimes when we say like terrible things to our guy friends, is that because we're trying to just like be guys and connect with our guy friends, or is it actually a serious outlet and we have a need to like express these actual certain parts of ourselves that we can't express in other arenas?
Well, I think it boils down to the fact that we're not going to give each other hand jobs. We have to entertain each other somehow. You know, we're not getting hand jobs right now.
I'm giving you a fucking hand job right now.
Yeah, well, that's the wrong limb. That's my ankle.
I thought I was crushing it, man.
So are you saying that the only way that you can connect with a woman is physically?
Yeah. Wait. No, I have a different way of connect. I used to talk to guys one way and women another way, but now I talk to the 17 different gender types, each a different way.
Oh, shit. Oh, you're going to be in more trouble than me.
I'm done.
Danny, you seem to have like the more reasonable... Like, these guys are, look, we're being guys here, we're joking around, it's great. I'm curious as to your honest opinion as to, like, is the way we talk with guys a real reflection of who we are, or is there something like a masculine sort of social, the word toxic masculinity is getting, like, tossed around a lot in culture. Is there something to that, and, like, what's
I think the easiest way of looking at it is, you know, 99% of all the shit that guys say is just that. It's just bullshit, you know? So if you want to talk about like authenticity or whatever, it's like, well, you know, like look to see what people are like, these guys are actually doing.
What do you mean
doing.
By 99? Like, would just
like,
shoot
oh,
the shit?
Oh, I would do so much. Like I would do this to that girl, or I would do this to that girl. And it's like, well, not a single one at that table actually even goes up to that girl and says a word. You know what I mean? So it's like,
just to clarify though, we keep saying like what I would do to a girl. This is all legal.
Yes.
Yeah. They're like, okay with it. This is not like,
this is what I would do to a girl.
Dude,
these are the tools I would use.
First thing I would do, rent a van.
Dark mind over here. I wasn't even going that direction.
I know, but people listening are like,
then to Home Depot.
What is wrong with these
guys? What kind of forum is this?
No, I just think when if you want to talk authenticity, that's what it comes down to. I think when it, you know, at least for, I don't know Nick all that well, but I know you two pretty well for a number of years.
No, but it's I don't think like, it comes from an authentic place. Yeah, you definitely need to blow off steam.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly think no one actually likes golf. Like, it's not a likable sport. I fucking hate it. I have to play it all the time. I'm stealing a bit from one of my favorite comedians, but it's like, it's just a fucking way to get away and drink some beer.
I mean, look at Tiger Woods. He's one of the most depraved sexual deviants there is, and he's the greatest golfer in the world.
I think professionals like it. I think half the guys out there are like, I'm just going to talk some shit.
Changing the subject a little bit here. Obviously, a lot of what we just talked about, there's women are probably just like, oh God, men are just,
guys?
Yeah, what is wrong with these guys? Can't believe they talk like that about us.
That's
when we're
a shame
around.
Because that was all kind of filtered.
I totally disagree with you.
That was like the equivalent of buying flowers compared to, you know, if we weren't on the air.
I guarantee when we're not around, women are way fucking worse.
Oh, you think so? Well, here's a question. What's one thing about women that, like, you're curious about or that you don't understand or that, like, you know, they're probably like, what do guys talk about when we're not around? Now they have a little insight. What do we wonder about women?
There's a lot I don't understand, yet I am not curious. The second they start talking about shit that I don't need to know that shit.
So ignorance is bliss in your mind in this.
Ignorance is fucking acceptable.
How about you, Nick? Blissful. Like, if you could have a woman answer one question about women, what would it be?
Well, you know, I listen to a lot of radio shows, so I pretty much have the inside scoop now.
I'm serious.
There isn't anything in particular that I've, you know, I've been doing whatever I'm talking about for a long time, and I'm not surprised anymore. Like, I'm not as curious as I was when I was in my 20s.
How about you, Danny? Anything?
I'm not as mystified as I was, or I've just given up. I mean, that's the other option.
Not really. I mean, I think that maybe on a more personal basis, you know, about like, you know,
an individual woman. Perhaps,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, not necessarily like women as a, you know.
I want to know where this one woman lives.
No, but all right.
What about you, Ben? I mean,
real quick, not to shut down the topic here. But have you ever read a copy of GQ? And has a woman ever read a copy of Cosmopolitan where there's not some article, I don't even know if Cosmo is still a big magazine with them, not some article like, this is what men really think about sex. It is a topic people talk about a lot, which makes it a valid topic.
But, you know, it's interesting.
Forever, you know?
It's interesting, though, because I think even as you mentioned, Nick, like our conversation here has been filtered a little bit. And it's very rare and like, it seems like me might not get there too, where you get to like the deepest, darkest, where you really get to hear what the opposite sex says and thinks.
Dude, we got fucking careers here. I mean, how dark am I going to fucking go?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about renting a van.
Well, listen,
Jesus.
On the other side of the equation, women are often confused by men just as men are by women. And I did a little digging online and sort of looked at what are like the main questions that women have for men about what it's like to be a man or what men think when it comes to certain aspects of love and relationships and stuff. And we're going to dig into those questions and try to answer those questions for the ladies after the break. But before we take a break, we've got a really fun partnership happening between Heritage Radio and the No Text Weekend. The ladies of the No Text Weekend will be my guests next week, and the following Saturday, September 24th, Jacqueline and I are hosting a cocktail hour and panel discussion as part of the No Text Weekend at our favorite super sexy wine bar, Virgula, in New York's East Village. We've got a powerhouse panel of relationship and tech writers and a local psychologist on board to talk about messaging, about how messaging and texting have shaped communication etiquette and the early stages of romance. We'll be sipping on some Italian wine and beer, slurping down oysters, and having a grand old time. Tickets are only $12 and include your first round of Prosecco. So head to lovebitesradio.com and heritageradionetwork.org for more information and links to tickets. And let us know on Facebook or Twitter if you'll be joining us on Saturday the 24th when we choose forks over phones. I will be right back for more with the bros after the break.
Music for this commercial break is brought to you by RecTech, and this track is called Dues Paid. Yeah.
Joy of Sake invites you to the largest and liveliest sake tasting event in New York. With over 400 premium sakes to taste, including gold and silver award winners from the U.S. National Sake Appraisal and 16 of New York's top restaurants providing sake-licious appetizers. The event takes place on Friday, September 16th from 6:30 to 9:30 at the Metropolitan Pavilion on 18th Street. You'll be able to sip, savor, and experience a record 408 premium sakes, all in peak condition, with over half of them unavailable in the U.S. and exclusively for the Joy of Sake. All categories of sake will be represented, with over half from the elite Daiginjo sakes. Plus, nibble on sake-inspired appetizers, all carefully curated and perfectly paired with two creative poke stations by Narita and Sakamai, plus elegantly crafted appetizers from Sushi Nakazawa, Sakagura, Zuma, and more. Celebrate the world's finest sakes in an evening of sake perfection at the Joy of Sake. For more information, go to joyofsake.com.
Okay, we are back, folks, or should I say men, because I'm certain that any females who are listening are have jumped ship long ago.
They've all jumped a van.
God. Who brought up the van?
No, you're not putting any context. I said, all right.
Listen, guys.
Why does that van get such a bad reputation?
Shh, 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 shh. You're in trouble. Your girlfriend is going to just, like, disown you. Anyway.
My girlfriend's laughing because I actually own a van, too. Ah. So there's that.
Well, anyway, Danny, I just want to take a quick chance here to pick your brain individually for a moment before we bring the other guys back and hopefully embarrass your sister, my co-host, Jacqueline, a little bit because she's not here to defend herself. It's really low of me. But what can I say? I'm just curious, Danny, if you could tell me what it's like to have a sister whose love life is so public.
Or has she always been like that?
No, I mean, my sister and I are actually pretty close. Like, but it was definitely weird listening to, like, the first couple episodes of the show.
Weird how?
Just hearing her talk about that stuff. Because it's something, like, I thought my sister and I are close. I still consider us close. But there are definitely things that we don't talk about. And her dating life and things like that is definitely one of them. Because I started listening to the show the first couple episodes. And I'm like, whoa, she's got all this other stuff going on in her life that I have no idea about. And I don't want to know anything about. So
that was about the time when
I stopped listening. But yeah.
Interesting. So yeah. That hasn't changed. Like, you feel like there's part of, like, her dating life and all that that's just, like, you don't want to know about.
Yeah. I'm all good not knowing about it. And sorry, that means that I'm not going to listen to your show every week, but
sure.
But
I'm curious as to why. Is it just because it's like feels like gross because it's your sister, or is it like embarrassing have your family life kind of public, or is it like that you're protective of her?
It's I would say it's kind of a combination of like maybe a little protective of her, also not necessarily wanting to know a lot of details, but also there's a part of it like you know, for somebody who doesn't have a radio show, they get to kind of choose when they introduce somebody to family, like when they bring, you know, that side of them into their family or into their relationship or whatever. And, you know, the fact that she talks about her relationships and everything every week, you know, you do as well. It really puts, you know, I would say a whole different dimension on every relationship that you have. But yeah, so it's kind of, I feel like almost respecting that a little bit more. If she wants to talk to me about somebody that she's met or somebody she's excited about or whatever, you know, she can do that. But yeah.
Is there anything you can remember specifically that made you cringe or that made you uncomfortable or?
I was actually thinking about that on the train ride in, and I don't know if it's just like my brain like mentally blocking it out of my head or if it just wasn't that bad. But yeah, there wasn't anything specifically that I could remember now.
Okay. Last question just for you is that this is your opportunity here live on the radio to kind of get vengeance on your sister. I mean, there's sibling rivalries growing up. I know I had one with my brother. I'm sure you probably have one with your sister. Like, do you want to embarrass her? Is there anything from her childhood or from her life right now that you want to, like, spill the beans out and just get, like, a little... You were the younger brother, you know? So I'm sure there was some picking on happening stuff like that.
Sorry, Ben.
Come on, are you sure?
Yeah. No, I mean, I call her my little sister. Even though she's my older sister, I call her my little sister. I feel that there's a... It's more of a protectionist thing on my part. I'm the only guy in the family, other than my dad, obviously. But you know, so I've always kind of had that maybe like bigger brother thing to all of my sisters, even though two of them are older.
One of the two of us could make something up, I suppose.
I don't have to make anything up.
After listening to what you said.
Actually, you know, I haven't even met her. You guys went to college.
We have plenty of
stories. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen. I tried, and Jacqueline. Remember this, because you are very lucky to have a kind, sympathetic, caring younger brother there who I think he just won some points with you, even though I tried to get him to destroy your entire family. Okay, I would like to invite Andrew and Nick back into discussion. As I mentioned before the break, in preparation for the show, I kind of scoured the internet looking for questions that women have about men, things they either can't understand about us or want to know about our experience as men. So I'd like to do our best to answer those questions as candidly as possible. You guys ready?
Cool.
Okay. Here's one question to get us started. Will I scare him away if I say I love you first?
I think that's more.
Sorry, are we going counterclockwise?
I don't know.
Right, you go
we
first.
Can go in like a triangle.
Hey, you go first.
You know, I don't think it's whether she says it first, but maybe how soon she says it.
Is there a rule in your mind as far as like when's too like how like a length of time that is too soon? Or
I think 7 years is.
No, I mean, look, it happens. You know, like it's hard to say yes or no, but I agree. That, yeah, if it's day one, it's like, all right. Like, I remember in college, we went to that Dave Matthews concert, which never go to one of those again. The girl says, I think we're soulmates. It's like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you were just pissing in that fucking corner by that tree.
And you're like, I don't even like Dave Matthews. Yeah.
No, like, I've been very clear about how I don't like Dave Matthews or Fish, yet I find them very talented.
Great drummers, both of them.
No, I think.
Andrew's a drummer, actually.
I was. Let's not get into that. I guess I still can play drums. Anyway, no, I think, yeah, you're at a certain point in the relationship. You both feel that way. You both know you feel that way. If she technically says it before you say it, that's fine. If she says it too early in the relationship, then, yeah, it scares you away. If she loves you and you don't love her, and she keeps saying it, it scares you away.
Yeah, but the thing is, as you get older, these things don't come as a surprise as much as they did when you were in your 20s. You know, women in their 30s and 40s, they're not falling in love in 5 minutes like they did when we were all starry-eyed and not jaded yet, where that might happen 2 weeks into a relationship.
Sure. Well, let's be clear that you're the grandfather of the group.
Yeah, dude, I've been jaded since 4 years old.
Danny, how about you? Would this be a thing that scared you away necessarily, or do you kind of just concur with the guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more a matter of timing within the relationship than who says it first.
Gotcha. All right.
And also, if she's crying while she says it, that scares you a little
bit
more.
Sign. Yeah. Typically a bad sign.
Keep in mind,
if there's like a love you.
Yeah, that's a little rough.
Yeah, that one's the 7 year one.
If she's got a gun in her hand, crying and says, I love you, then it's not too early at all. I love you too.
Yeah.
But obviously she's really attractive, then I don't give a shit when she says it.
The hotter they are, the earlier they can say it.
Everyone knows.
Hot to length of time ratio. Right?
Everyone knows that. All on my blog.
All right, here's another one. What percentage of your female friends do you want to sleep with?
Oof. I have two female friends. One of them is fucking Danny's sister.
So round to the nearest 100, would you?
And I've already knocked that one out. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Oh, Dan. God. Jacqueline will be back to answer to that in a couple weeks.
Do I want to sleep with?
You're talking to two people now.
He just remembered that his girlfriend is listening, so now he's got a.
No one's listening. I'm just kidding. I don't know. That's a different. I mean,
just say zero. Just save yourself.
Okay, I'll put it in this context. I didn't have a lot of like female friends that were just friends. But when I finally did, like in college, yeah, most of them I wanted to sleep with.
Danny? Just be honest. It's okay.
No, I mean, I would say, well, most of my female friends today are my girlfriend's friends, not really. You know, I have female friends still from like
my high school. So you can't be attracted to your girlfriend's friends?
No, you can be, but it's for me, it's like that Chinese wall thing, you know? It's like my girlfriend's friends? No, like you can't even, I don't even go there in my mind.
Associated with it. You're talking about girls that you would hang out if you weren't dating her, and then if you just randomly met.
And I would say, I don't know. I guess I have hot female friends, but... no, they're good. You know, it's
you guys are so diplomatic, Nick.
100%.
You're not in a relationship.
Yeah, like,
let's
honestly,
be honest here. How many?
Most of them, I would
say.
Okay,
first of all, I mostly have female friends, which is strange. But no, it's true. I would say zero, and here's why.
Wow.
Because the ones that I haven't slept with, I don't want to sleep with, and some of them I have slept with. So at this point, it's I would say zero. Zero.
You've never had a female friend who you wanted to sleep with who wouldn't sleep with you?
Oh, yeah, no. I have. Are you fucking kidding me?
Seriously?
I don't think so.
You got every chick you want, basically.
No.
Maybe say the opposite.
No, it's not. I'm just...
I just don't have a lot of
friends. I don't have any female friends. Come on. I don't have any female. Fine.
I mean, I would say for me, the number... I don't know the exact percentage, but it's pretty high. And I think attraction is part of, like, what creates any friendship or relationship. Like... My guy friends I'm not physically attracted to, but there's an attraction of personality that makes you friends. Yeah. And when that happens with some of the opposite sex, obviously there's like a physical – like there can be a physical component at play. And so like I would say most of my female friends at some point or another I have wanted to sleep with.
I think attractiveness and also like wanting to – like I have female friends that I've hooked up with, but you know we wouldn't – like it happens on a random whatever occasion or random night or – whatever, and then it doesn't go any further than that, and that's where it ends, and we're both okay with that.
All right,
you know?
Dude, sorry you couldn't bang him.
A few more.
No, like, honestly.
Yeah, it ends when they say, oh, shit, I was really drunk. Oh, it's you? Yeah, I'm not. No, I'm not not
all right, all right. Enough with the...
There's
the,
a fisting joke in here somewhere.
Yeah, Paul,
the statutory rape jokes are getting a little out of hand here.
It wasn't the joke. It's about how he's unattractive.
A few more. Do you really like the way we taste down there?
Fuck no. I don't give a shit how many showers you've taken, what you've eaten. What? No. What, out of your fucking mind?
Anyone else?
Yeah, no. I mean,
that's really a case-by-case basis kind of thing.
I don't think it's necessarily case by case. I mean, it's not something that if you were to go to a restaurant, you would order at a restaurant.
Case. Right. Yeah, case by case.
I feel the exact same way, Danny. I mean, but that said, like, I enjoy going down on a woman, and like that taste is to me like represents
what you're doing.
You're like, something's coming up.
Yeah, it's linked to...
It's like when you're walking towards the movie theater and you get the smell of popcorn, you get a little bit excited.
Yes, but to your point, exactly.
Even if you're
Danny,
walking on broken glass.
I wouldn't go and order a bowl of like vagina soup at a restaurant, but I do enjoy going down on a girl and the taste is part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it better. I don't really like grapefruit, so I like it better than that.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, there's that one thing.
So you're saying if it tasted like grapefruit, you'd be less inclined?
Yeah, yeah.
I like how you think that vagina soup is just like a normal thing you can order at any restaurant.
Well, I'm saying if
I don't think it's
most people just put it on.
It's not horrendous, and it's not fucking great. I mean, you're doing it because of your passion and the different reasons.
Here's another one. How often do you watch porn/masturbate?
I'm doing it right now.
Put that away.
Which one?
Less and less.
A lot. Yeah, I'd say a little bit less
than you used to,
dude.
Then you did.
You're a younger kid. Like, we used to have to go find a fucking porn magazine when I was 30. I used to be able to masturbate to my fucking memory when I was 30 years old.
And
that's me to a porn I watched 3 months ago.
I'm thinking of something you said earlier, though. I think men did used to describe a little bit more what they would want to do or what they did do to a woman. Now you can just watch it.
You can just Google
like
it.
You don't need to create that picture anymore. Like when we were 14, we were like, she gave me a handjob and it was like this and it felt like this. Because
and
now
it was just like
I've seen 47,000
like
handjobs online by the time I'm 14.
That's the porn you watch? Handjob porn?
Yeah.
I would say, yeah.
But
you know,
midget handjob porn.
Little people.
In college, I was very regimented, at least once a day.
God, like, we're going to hell. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Shave, shake. It was just a daily thing.
How does it feel to get kicked in the balls?
Fucking, it's
terrible.
Awful.
Yeah, it really is terrible.
But, like, terrible, you know, how is it?
It just like, takes all the life out of you.
Yeah, because it's just
like, I want to say breath, but it's not even breath. It's like, it just takes the life out of you.
If you get punched in the face, your face really hurts.
Yeah.
Right? If you get kicked in the shin, your shin really hurts. If you get kicked in the balls, it, like, wells up with inside you. It, like, goes to your fucking brain.
I think it's really more of a case-by-case basis.
That's your just. I'm not even coming to you anymore.
Wait, how hot is how hot is the girl that's?
I actually got a question
balls.
For Jackie's brother. Sorry, Jacqueline's brother. What percentage of your female friends that have tried to have sex with
have kicked you in the balls?
I don't know. I'd have to really think about that. Sorry.
All right, last one. Why are you always trying to prove your masculinity to us? The ladies want to know. You guys aren't trying to prove your masculinity to me, but to the ladies.
I'm not.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
Get out of your own fucking head.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Relax.
Nothing.
Yeah. I think that's they're over hanging out in Murray Hill, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. I know. Nick walked in and he's like, you can't call this the bro show. I'm like, why not? He's like, because it's not in Murray Hill.
Oh, I can bring in some fucking total bro. I mean, what is proving your masculinity? Like,
I think you were asking the wrong crowd for that one.
Yeah, what is the adult version of chugging a beer and smashing the can on your head?
Hold on a second. I sell.
But you don't do that just because you like to do it?
Well, I like the taste.
I sell beer for a living and I was in a fraternity. That evens out me being a drama major. Like, I think I'm pretty pro. I don't get the whole trying to prove your masculinity. Like, yeah. Am I lifting fucking heavy shit in front of them? No, I'm acting how I act. Like, get over yourself.
All right, ladies. Let's just wrap this up by saying get over yourselves. We're boys will be boys, all right? Listen, that's our show for today. I want to thank our guests, Sandra McLeod, Nick Cattar, and Dan Raposo for being here today. Thank you guys so much. It was a really fun show.
Can I plug one thing?
Absolutely.
I just sorry, I didn't ask you before. We're doing a huge Oktoberfest event on Stone Street, downtown Manhattan.
Which is always really fun. I've been many times.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, it's going to be massive this year. It's sponsored by Six Point Brewery, Erdinger Brewery. 7 o'clock keg tapping on Friday night and starts noon on Saturday. You don't have to buy tickets. Just come on in, buy some beer.
So if you want to prove your masculinity and do a really long keg stand, you can show up at Stone Street. Will you allow keg stands or no?
We're doing Stein hoisting, but if you really want to do a keg stand, we'll figure it out.
All right. Well, there you have it. Thanks again, guys. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Ben.
Also, thanks to our trusty engineer, Pierre. Our theme song is Give Love by the Josh Dion Band. I am Ben Rosenblatt, and I'll be back for one more episode without my dear co-host Jacqueline next week with Allison Goldberg and Jen Jamula of the No Text Weekend. Until then, see ya.
For listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.